Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Let's go to Acts chapter 1, standing for the reading of God's word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here tonight. Ignite us. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, Jesus, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for passing to us the same Holy Spirit that accompanied you throughout your years of ministry, anointed you, enabled you to preach the gospel, and to heal all manner of sickness, to go about doing good, blessing all who were oppressed of the adversary. So tonight, we need the Holy Spirit. Send him to us once again in power and fire and might, until once again your church stands up and roars like a lion, that the whole world will know there is one God. It is our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is one Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is one power source, the Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You might want to take notes tonight. You want to pay attention to this, because it's going to be very helpful to everybody of every age group. And none of us are too old or been around too long to not gain something out of this tonight. And all of us, whether we're small and we're just learning and beginning to understand, listen, my experiences in the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't trade you for all the money you could ever accumulate, because I learned things as a child that are still with me today that enabled me to grow and develop and mature and move and become sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start by saying to you, first of all, the Holy Spirit is equal in power, majesty, and glory as any other member of the Godhead. He is equal in power, majesty, and glory. The Word says the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. When he comes upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest, there is no greater power, will overshadow you, the angel told Mary. All-powerful. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor taught him? He knows everything. So when we're praying and we think we're informing him, we're not. He already knows what we're trying to say. He just wants us to come to him, dependent. And we have applied this to the Father and the Son, all-powerful, all-knowing, and not been aware it applies to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of the Trinity. When I speak of him, when I worship Jesus, listen, I feel his power, sense his presence. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. David said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. You are everywhere. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus said, not only will he reveal to you, he will bring to your remembrance everything that I have stated in my word. He'll remind you of it when you need it. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us. And listen, like a hockey player, he'll check you. When you're getting over the line, he'll remind us, first with a gentle check, And then if he has to, a little stronger check. He reminds us. He teaches us and reminds us and says, what do you think you're doing? How often when we faced a situation and we needed to be reminded, amen? It was the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You're in a struggle, and he brings to you a song in your remembrance or a word to your remembrance. It's the Holy Spirit. He's bringing that to you, speaking to you, because the Holy Spirit is always speaking, attempting to take us to a miracle, to an answer, to a deliverance, to a breakthrough. He is always speaking. And the Holy Spirit brings up from our memory scriptures we have read and applies them to the moment circumstance. Says, this is how this works right now. The Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, Jesus said. He doesn't speak about himself. He speaks to glorify Jesus. I have moments with the Holy Spirit when I've stopped to thank him. I've just been overwhelmed by him and his anointing. And he reminds me time and again, listen, I've anointed you to give glory to Jesus. And when you sense my presence, let it take you to Jesus. When you sense I'm working in a room or I'm working in your room privately with you, always when you sense my presence, let it take you to Jesus. The center of it all is Jesus. Everything in the universe pivots around Jesus. So the Holy Spirit does not glorify himself. And the more of the Holy Spirit you experience, the more you will speak of and know Jesus. So who is the center of your conversation? Is it Jesus? Or yourself? Or what you're doing? Or who you're going with? Or the last physical experience you had? Or that goal that you're pursuing yourself? Who is the center of your conversation? Jesus said he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said, I have to go away. And when I go away, he will be sent to you and manifest, and he will convict. And think of that power. He brings conviction to the whole planet, including the church. Conviction so great, and judgment, he says, like an umpire, that's wrong. That's not good. This is what you need, because people have rejected the ways of Jesus. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as an only son. So the Holy Spirit convicted you and brought you to Jesus into the kingdom. And we are thankful. Soon he's going to convict the entire world, and they have rejected Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, he'll convince the world that only Jesus is righteous. And people will wail and cry out when they see the Son of God in glory. The Holy Spirit's power is so great, he will raise all the saints from the dead. It's his power that will transform your body in the twinkling of an eye. Think of that kind of power. Say, the Holy Spirit is the power of the Trinity. Such great power that at the trumpet sound, every living saint will be transformed. Every dead saint will be resurrected. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we sense a smidgen of his power, and we're in awe. Wow, that was a powerful service. We have no comprehension of how much power the Holy Spirit has. Some have felt like when they've fallen to the floor, like they've been hit with a bolt of electricity or stuck their finger in a socket. That's but a drop of his presence. And soon his power will raise the dead and transform every child of God into the likeness of Jesus. in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. His power will come like a wave of glory, transforming every believer on earth. We have no idea how to wrap ourselves around the power and dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Yet this most powerful member of the Godhead is the most gentle you'll ever meet. The power of the Holy Spirit will cause you not only to be transformed, but will take you to meet Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. You will have the bonds of gravity broken as you are translated and transformed, and you will rise to meet Jesus in the air. His power will lift every saint off this planet at one time. Think of the power of the Holy Spirit. We get awed by seeing his power when someone is healed. It's still nothing compared to the power yet to be manifested. We have only begun to understand the power and dynamics of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? It will raise the dead in a moment, translated and standing before Jesus. Entheos, God in us. And tonight, I want to reacquaint Calvary Christian Center with this person called the Holy Spirit, because he desires to use each of us and all of us, to use you and use me, not just use pastors and evangelists. No, he wants to use the entire body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who will guide you into all truth. Jesus said those words exactly. He will guide you into all truth. He will direct your steps, because a guide walks with you and directs your steps and keeps you focused on what you're supposed to be looking for. Because when we've had guides take us places, they know the territory and they say, stop here and look. Or did you notice this over here? Or be careful where you're putting your feet. Or be sure when you move up the side here that you're careful to hang on to these bars that will guide you. And the guide helps you to understand what you're looking for. The guide is always there with you, making sure that you don't miss anything that you need to see. Something great will happen for some here tonight when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth. And Jesus went on to say in the next verse, and he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit reveals and applies the glory of Jesus, and you will get to see his majesty. Say, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to me. The Holy Spirit brings me to the cross. The Holy Spirit lives in me and changes me. See, that's the thing that none of us like very much, is the word change. But when he has reign in us, he lives in us and changes us. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Prophetic, as Isaiah was, and teaching us about the Spirit of God, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. This is how it's supposed to progress in us. The Holy Spirit's power brings abundance in our lives. If you feel like a desert, he will turn that desert into a garden, is what he's saying here. And if you're a garden, he will turn that into a forest. And when it's all said and done, there's going to be fruitfulness as a result of the Spirit of God working change in us. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can turn chaos into perfection, the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, and God spoke, and perfection was the result. The Holy Spirit transformed the earth from chaos into beauty. When you get up in the morning and you hear the birds are singing and you're watching the glories of the Lord around you, listen, from chaos to beauty in his creation. And if he can transform the earth, he can transform you. He can turn your mess into a miracle with one touch. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us. And so it says in 2 Corinthians, very important passage, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Moses had to cover his face with a veil, a scarf. But we are not veiled. We are changed by the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. And by the Word, the Holy Spirit allows us to see revealed Christ Jesus. The glass is the Word. James 1 and 23 calls the Word a mirror. We're changed as we read His Word by the Holy Spirit. So you don't change your life just by reading. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and transforms our lives. By the Holy Spirit, we see the glory of Jesus, His attributes, His character. It's transformational when He reveals Jesus to us. How many today in our culture truly desire to live as a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus? And there's a place where when you fully surrender to the Holy Spirit, He will cause you to walk in His Word. And once you die to self and you begin to live dead, because remember, the Holy Spirit only trusts dead people. Because when we're alive to self, we're untrustworthy. When we're dead to self, He can trust us. And He will keep testing you until you're dead to self. And once you die to self, you're resurrected to walk in His ways. The Holy Spirit wants to live His life through you. And here's what He says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Calvary Christian Center, please, I plead with you, surrender to the Holy Spirit. He will cause you to walk in the Word of God. And when you are surrendered, it's no longer a task, a chore, a drudgery to walk in His Word. The Holy Spirit is doing it in you when you have surrendered to the Lord. Quit trying and just surrender. Say, it is His power. And if the Holy Spirit can take God and put Him in human flesh, He can cause you to walk in His Word. Are you listening? In Proverbs 1:23, God says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. See, and when we stop being stubborn, we must break from our willfulness and our stubbornness. And He says, turn at my rebuke. In other words, move back in my direction. When I'm tapping you on the shoulder and you're giving me one of these, don't do that. Turn when I'm rebuking you. And then surely I will pour out my spirit on you and I will make my words known to you. You're going to get clarity the moment you stop resisting the Lord and you start cooperating with Him. And He says, come to me. I want to pour out my spirit upon your life and you will know my word. You will know it. Revelation of truth dawns. It's like the lights have come on in a dark room. You will never know the Word by yourself. You know the Word when the Holy Spirit makes it known to you. And he only can make it known to you, listen, when you are willing to turn from your ways and cooperate in his ways, then he pours out his spirit, then you get to know his word. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot belong to the Lord. Without him, you cannot be a Christian. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You cannot say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I hope you're writing this stuff down. You get to know this person, the Spirit of God. And the world uses Jesus' name to curse. When you're speaking by the Holy Spirit, you will not use his name in vain. No one speaking by the Holy Spirit dishonors the name of Jesus. You treasure his name. You don't go around just using the phrase, well, God told me, or I'm speaking. No, unless God really did tell you, you don't use his name. We revere his name. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit. And yet, with our dependence and our willingness to die to self, we still do not totally comprehend all of this and the power and the greatness of his glory. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, why did Jesus have to pray to the Father to give us the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus have to ask him? Jesus asked his Father to give the Holy Spirit to us. Because the Holy Spirit had accompanied Jesus throughout his ministry. Not all believers were filled with the Holy Spirit under the old covenant. Few, selected few were. It was by God's sovereignty that Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit, or Elijah, or Elisha, or Joshua. The prophets, Samson. It was by God's sovereignty. They were privileged to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The sovereignty of God chose individuals to fill with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not fill all believers in the old covenant. He only came upon those God chose to use. Now, if you ask Moses, what was that like? He would tell us, it's like your experience. You're getting to know him. Like I got to know him. The Holy Spirit filled those as he fills you. And God Almighty gave the Holy Spirit to a chosen few in the old covenant. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father to give the Holy Spirit to all of you. In the old covenant, he was only given to a selected group. Now I'm asking the Father, Jesus said, to give him to all my followers. And the Father seemingly was withholding him until a specific time. Because it says in Isaiah 63, they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Not a good place to be. Rebellion does not set well with God. And God said to his people, I'm not your friend. I'm against you because you have wounded the one I deeply love and care about. He had loved his people. He had delivered them out of slavery. He had provided for them every day, but they vexed and grieved the Holy Spirit. I don't want God against me to resist me. So that means I don't touch his Spirit or the will of God or the will of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that the blood of Jesus covers every one of our sins and removes all of our stains. But watch this, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit has no forgiveness. In Matthew 12, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they said, your miracles are the works of the devil. And Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And then he said, you can speak against the Father, and I will forgive you. You can speak against me, and I will forgive you. Whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. That's pretty strong stuff, folks. There's forgiveness for any sin, not this one. Speaking against the Holy Spirit, that's powerful. It puts the fear of God in my soul. The first time I read that as a child, I was speechless. God said, I carried you, I loved you, I rescued you, I provided for you, I saved you, but because you rebelled and grieved my Holy Spirit, I am against you. God the Father and God the Son have made a decision they will never change. Anyone who insults the Holy Spirit, vexes, grieves, means to torment him, there is no forgiveness. That causes me to tremble. It ought to cause everybody to tremble. I don't think any committed follower of Jesus would ever do this. Yet I'm shocked at times by the speech of some Christians about the Holy Spirit. Anyone who says these things, it calls into question their Christianity. God alone knows the heart, of course. Only he gets to judge ultimately. But when they attack the Holy Spirit and say, this is of the devil, it causes me pause about their Christianity. How can a Christian think that? The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. But the Holy Spirit should be welcomed always. We want the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through the church into our hearts and lives and energize, fill us, and make this the most exciting place you have ever been in your life. Amen? In Acts 7, it says, they resisted the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah, it says, his people, God's people, told the Holy Spirit, don't speak to us. The blessed Holy Spirit is so gentle. When he's grieved like that, he just backs away. Just backs away. So let me show you some characteristics about the Trinity. When people defied, sinned in front of the Father, there was death and destruction. A holy God, Moses told Aaron, you need to run through the crowd and the nation and the people of Israel and make atonement. It's all in number 16 to save some of the people's lives. By the time Aaron got to the center of the crowd, 14,700 were killed because they sinned blatantly in front of the Father. Korah attacked Moses and threatened him, and God was angrier than Moses. And he told Moses, step out of the way. And God allowed the earth to swallow 250 alive. Miriam spoke against Moses, her brother, and God struck her with leprosy. Moses prayed for her that God would release her, and God did. God was ready to kill all the Israelites when they built a golden calf. Moses interceded and prayed, God, don't do this, and they were spared. And when they continued to rebel, he allowed them all to die in the wilderness, wandering for 40 years and dying off in an entire generation. That's the Father's response. When Pharisees sinned against the presence of Jesus, he rebuked them sharply. Sharply. He called them whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, foul on the inside. He rebuked them so sharply, he said, it would go easier for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. He called them hypocrites. And when they spoke against him, he sharply rebuked them. You rarely see the Holy Spirit ever do that. The only instance I know is when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and to Peter. Then the Holy Spirit took action. But the Holy Spirit doesn't generally rebuke the rebellious. He does something more impacting. He just walks away. I'd rather God the Father kill me. I would rather Jesus the Son sharply rebuke me. But Holy Spirit, do not walk away from me. Do not take away your presence from me. To have him distance himself is worse than a rebuke. So the word says this to us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not resist him. Do not oppose his will. Welcome the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing you can do for your life tonight is to welcome the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of him. He's not here to hurt you. He's here to help you. Be reacquainted with him. Amen? Be reacquainted. Well, Pastor, who do we need to speak to? To the Father when we pray, or to the Son, or to the Holy Spirit? Here's the way it works for me. I come to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. That's how I pray. I address the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. All three. Whatever you ask the Father, Jesus said, in my name, he will give it to you. So I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray. I don't know how. I've never seen the Father, but the Holy Spirit has. So I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me pray correctly, to make Jesus real to me. He's our helper. He helps our weaknesses. He enables us to pray correctly. He gives us faith to pray. He supplies me with faith and endurance. And when I feel inadequate to minister, before I ever come out here, I always ask the Holy Spirit to be with me, because I have nothing to offer, and I'll fall flat unless you come here with me. And it's his anointing that brings healing to the sick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he uses imperfect vessels, but he works through us. He will guide us, teach us, reveal to us, lead us. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He represents Jesus on earth. Now, don't miss this. When Jesus was here, he had physical limitations. Yeah, he ministered to thousands at a time. He healed the sick by the thousands, performed miracles, fed multitudes, preached and taught. But few could experience him comparatively to the numbers on the planet. And so he ascended to the Father, but he told his nervous and unsteady followers, don't worry, I will send the Holy Spirit, and you can each have me for yourself by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus wherever you go. Jesus is here by the Spirit to be ours forever. See, if Jesus were here in the flesh, I would have to wait in line for an opportunity to see him. And so would you. And I hate lines. To get a moment of Jesus' attention among millions clamoring for his attention. But now we have him with us every day, all the time, forever. That's only possible through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in the flesh, seated at the Father's right hand right now. He has a glorified physical body, but by his Spirit, he is here, and he's real to you. You will hear his voice. You have felt his presence. You have sensed his touch, all by the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Anybody excited here tonight? You've been in the presence of Jesus tonight, even though you have not seen him in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit makes him as real to you tonight as the day you will see him face to face. You're not going to go meet a stranger. You're going to meet a friend. Jesus becomes as real to us tonight if we engage him, if we seek to know him, if we seek to embrace His way and His will. Listen, if we have access to Him, when we do by the Holy Spirit, and we take advantage of this, listen, as He will be in eternity, we're not going to go meet somebody I've never known before. I'm meeting somebody I've gotten to know here. This heart has experienced His whisper. And also a shout to get my attention. I've heard Him roar. His presence at times is so close. I think if I open my eyes, I'm going to see Him. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I want Him to be so real to you. It's not an historical figure you've come to pay homage to on Sunday. It's a person you know every single day of your life. And so, by the Spirit, He walks with me, talks with me. And I get the privilege of Adam